This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 26. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Cloudy day on the way. The high going to be 48. Tonight and overnight, those clouds hang around, low 41. And then Wednesday, clouds in the morning, showers in the afternoon, high 55. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 37, partly cloudy in Oyster Bay up on, out on Long Island. It's 38 and partly cloudy in Creskell down in New Jersey. And 39 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. A whole lot to get to, and there really is a whole lot, as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour, sit-in friends in the morning. If you're just waking up to us at this hour, first of all, where have you been? But more importantly, the big story overnight, about 1:30 this morning, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after a container ship smacked into a support column. Now, we've gotten some confirmation just in the last few minutes that there were cars and trucks on this bridge. This is a bridge that's about 2 miles long, a steel bridge that was put up back in 1977. It is over the Patapsco Bridge, or a river, I should say. And what we're hearing is at least 7 cars and a tractor trailer, that's what the Baltimore Fire Department is saying, are in the water. Now, we have somebody who actually is on the river as we speak. He had, was on the other side of midnight and was nice enough to stay on with us for the news hour to give us a better sense of what might be going on in this river as we speak. So, Ray, you're on the phone with us. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
So tell me.
Sorry to get on this way, but it's terrible out here. The ship is still stuck under the bridge. To start off, he was coming off on the wrong side, it looks like, and he just knocked that bridge down like it was a pretzel breaking in half.
That's amazing. So tell me, you're on a boat. Where exactly are you?
I'm right here. I beached the boat and came up. I'm looking directly at it now. I'm about 100 yards away, and they got marine units out there now. It's a recovery issue. They're trying to find the people in the vehicles and the gentleman in the tractor and trailer. But as of now, they just sent divers into the water to try to recover the people that were in the 7 cars.
Now, you live pretty close to the scene. How far away do you actually live?
I live about 2 miles down the road.
Okay. And am I saying it right? Is the Patapsco River, that's what it's called?
That's what it is, the Patapsco River, right here at Fort Armstead.
And this is a river that is a major thoroughfare normally for container ships to come in and out?
The channel is right there, but it looks like he went too far to the left coming out and didn't exactly hit where he was supposed to hit, it looks like. But I'll be able to look at it better when they light it up at daylight.
You know what?
Because as of now, it's broken. The bridge is totally down, collapsed. The steel and everything hanging over the boat and into the water.
So there's nothing left of this bridge is almost 2 miles long. Is there any of it that's still up, or is it all in the water?
It's all in the water. You can steal the steel structure that goes supports over top of it. You can see that hanging right on the ship.
Wow. So this was about 1:20. This is what we're being told, that the crash took place. You're about 2 miles away. Did you hear it? Could you hear the crash?
I heard a big noise. So right then and there, I went out back and looked, and I saw all the marine units shooting up through the channel. So I said, let me go check it out. And that's when I arrived and looked at this and saw the Key Bridge.
And is there a lot of other people out there with you, or are you the only one out there in a boat looking at this?
No, I'm the only one. I beached the boat. I'm up on shore now. And let me tell you something. I feel sorry for the people that were in the vehicles because it's a rescue. They're trying to rescue them, but now they just said they're going to try to recover.
Yeah, so you see this bridge, and obviously I imagine have been over this bridge. Is it so high that there's no way someone could survive if they're, because we're being told 7 cars and a tractor trailer are what went into the river. Would anybody be able to survive from that height, you think?
Yeah and no. It's not as high. It's about not as high as the Bay Bridge, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, but it's high enough where the boat knew what channel to be in, so he got off course somehow, the captain, or if there was a captain on board.
Yeah, well, what we're being told is that this ship, which flies under a Singapore flag, this is, by the way, if you're not familiar with Baltimore, is a huge port. They employ about 15,000 people full-time. It's a port that's active 24-7. This container ship that hit the column of this bridge that knocked down the Francis Scott Key Bridge at about 1:20 in the morning flies under the flag of Singapore. We don't know what they were carrying, but we were told that everybody on the ship is okay. But is this a heavily traveled bridge normally? I mean, I know 1:20 in the morning might not be, but is this a pretty main thoroughfare through
it's
Baltimore?
For people that works at the waterfront, then you got that other company on the other side. Yeah, it's heavily traveled in the morning. Sparrows Point people come over this way, and so it's a heavily used bridge. Luckily, it didn't happen while it was during work hours.
So at 1:20 in the morning, would it be workers going to the dock? I know I'm asking a question you might not be able to answer, but is it people going towards that direction?
Yeah, I would say it would be longshoremen coming off work, going to work. Yeah, because that's who frequents that bridge a lot, the longshoremen and the people that work over the there's a new warehouse they just built over there by Bethlehem Steel used to be.
And so the tractor trailers, obviously, I would assume would be coming from the port. That would make sense. Things pulled off the port, and then these tractor trailers taken to wherever the items are going.
Exactly. But now it's just nothing there. So it's nothing there.
Wow. And what are you seeing in terms of, does it look like a rescue effort? How are you seeing firefighters in the water?
Yeah, they do have divers in the water. I heard on the radio the divers did approach the water. They are in the water, and they're just trying to recover the people out of the vehicles.
From your vantage point, can you see cars or trucks in the water?
No, I can't see none of that because it's dark. And, you know, I'm surprised they wouldn't have it lit more lighting than what they got.
How deep would you say this river is? Is it pretty deep?
It's pretty deep in the center of the channel, yeah, because that's where there have been boats come in and out of here. And there's been a few times they've got close to that bridge where they've actually had to stop and back up and redirect to go under it. But this is a heavily traffic area as far as cargo ships coming and going.
If you're just tuning in, the Baltimore Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is a bridge that has 695 through it. It's a relatively big thoroughfare through the city of Baltimore. It collapsed about 1:20 this morning after a container ship under the flag of Singapore smacked into a column, a support column. The bridge came down. We're talking with Ray, who's not too far away from the scene, lives just 2 miles from this bridge. What we're being told by Baltimore City firefighters is that they're looking for 7 cars and a tractor trailer that they think went into the water. How they know that, they think, is from cameras that are on this bridge. And Ray, if we could ring you back in just a little bit when we get more information. You've given us fantastic information. Thank you very much. But we'll give you a ring back in another 30 minutes or so, if that's okay with you. And we'll check in again just to see how things are going there at the harbor.
That's fine. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. We'll be back in touch with Ray, who was at the scene, is an avid boater, and raced out there, just like a good reporter would, to see what was going on when this crash took place at about 1:20 this morning. Of course, we'll keep on top of the story because I'm sure more details as a fluid scene will come unto us. There's lots of other breaking news as well. Unfortunately, an NYPD cop was shot and killed last night while conducting a vehicle stop in Queens. Two officers were conducting this traffic stop, Mott Avenue and Far Rockaway. This was about 6 o'clock last night. They were focusing on quality of life issues, so they were focusing on cars with fake license plates. And they had stopped this vehicle with two men inside because they were parked at a bus stop illegally. So the officers go up to this car. They ask the passenger in the passenger seat to get out of the car. He refuses to, and then points a gun at this officer and shoots him.
He was asked to leave the car. He was given a lawful order numerous times to step out of the car. He refused. And when the officer took him out of the car, instead of stepping out of the car, he shot our officer.
That officer, just 30 years old, Jonathan Diller, the bullet hit him in the torso just below where the bullet-resistant vest is.
The gun hit the ground, and as the perpetrator was still reaching for it, this cop was able to grab it, although he was still shot.
Yeah, so the wounded officer, he was raced to Jamaica Hospital in critical condition. Doctors did everything they could last night to try to save him, but he passed away. Just awful. Here was the mayor, who raced to the scene of the hospital and was clearly shaken by the moment.
It is the good guys against the bad guys. And these bad guys are violent. They carry guns. And the symbol of our public safety, which is that police uniform, they have a total disregard for.
The condition of the two suspects, one being the gunman, unknown. There was fire back at him. Maybe one of them was shot, but they're both in custody. Here is the police commissioner at the hospital last night.
We should not be here right now. We should never be here praying for the life of an NYPD officer. But we are. And this is why.
Yeah, just 30 years old. As you can guess, hearts were heavy as police officers who knew the officer, Diller, raced to the scene. More from the mayor last night, who held a press conference, unfortunately, after it was announced that Diller had passed away.
We have to bury another cop. It's extremely, extremely painful for the city. When we place this officer in the grave, placing our symbol of public safety. That's what he stood for.
There'll be plenty of time for anger, grief, and for processing pain. But right now, our prayers are with our fallen officer's family, his fellow cops, and every member of the New York City Police Department.
Yeah, so here's what we know about Jonathan Diller. This is heartbreaking. 30 years old. He's married, has a young child. He's from Massapequa Park on Long Island. He was only on the force for 3 years, had received a number of awards for excellent police duty. His neighbors in Massapequa Park, most of them did not want to speak out. You can understand they were just blown away by what had taken place. But one neighbor said that Jonathan was the kind of guy, just like he was on the job, would give to anybody in the neighborhood if they needed help.
You never had to ask him for help. He always offered to help. You know, others. And that's all you can ask for from a neighbor. I just expect everyone just to respect their privacy at this moment, you know. But it's horrible, horrible moment.
So Diller, again, leaves behind a wife and young child. Now, of course, we'll move on to the funeral. Again, the two suspects involved, the murderer, the creep that shot this police officer, both of these guys are in custody. And, of course, as more information about the shooting comes into us, we will pass that on to you. All right, 5:15. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Department. Good morning, Justin L.A.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Start here at the Garden last night, where Dante DiVincenzo made a franchise record 11 three-pointers en route to the Knicks 124-99 route of the Detroit Pistons. DiVincenzo scored a career-best 40 points, leading New York to their 15th straight victory over the Pistons. DiVincenzo broke the Knicks single-game record of 10. Those held by J.R. Smith and Evan Fournier, and moved into third in the NBA in three-pointers made this season. Jalen Brunson added 28 points, and Josh Hart had 11 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists in his sixth triple-double this season. The Knicks won for the sixth time in seven games and remained a half game back behind Cleveland for third place in the Eastern Conference. On the floor in Toronto, Dennis Schroeder scored 19 points against his former team. Trendon Watford had 11 of his season-high 19 points in the second quarter, and the Nets snapped a six-game losing streak by beating the shorthanded Raptors 96-88 last night. Mikal Bridges scored 13 points, and Jalen Wilson added 12 as the Nets outscored Toronto 28-19 in the fourth quarter to help Brooklyn win for the first time since March 10th at Cleveland. No action to get to in the NHL, but the Hockey Blue Shirts will be back out there tonight at the Garden, getting set to welcome in the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7 p.m. puck drop. The Devils will be suiting up as well tonight, dropping a 7:30 puck up north in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. Off the field in Major League Baseball, Dodger star Shohei Ohtani said yesterday that he never bet on sports, and interpreter Ippei Mizuhara stole money from him and told lies. Ohtani made the comments during a news conference at Dodger Stadium 5 days after Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers in the wake of media inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to Southern California bookmaking
operation. What'd you make of that press conference? Did you believe him at the end of it?
Well, I couldn't understand half of it, and then the translator steps in. So it takes twice as long as it needs to,
right?
Because he's speaking a different language, and then you need somebody to then translate it. So that's a whole thing. But it wasn't really broadcast. It was only on MLB Network and then the local Dodger station out in L.A. So it wasn't those were the only two cameras allowed in the press room, I guess. So there weren't any other press clips out there. If you wanted to watch it live, it had to be really, if you were not in L.A., it had to be on MLB Network. What did I make of it?
Were you convinced? Do you think he's telling the truth?
I don't know. No, I don't think he's telling the truth.
Okay.
But I have no reason, I have no reason not to be convinced other than the fact that the story has changed three times until he did his best to clear it up yesterday. But that could just be because this interpreter is a degenerate gambler and liar and pathological liar who was never a friend in the first place. That could be the real story. Or it could be just an utter fabrication. And Shohei Ohtani could be the culprit himself, which I believe to be the case.
So if he didn't bet on baseball, then is there a problem, right? It sounds like the betting on other sports.
Yeah, because sports gambling in general is illegal in California.
Oh, it is. I didn't know
so
that. Okay.
If it's in California, then it becomes an issue. That's why this bookmaking operation, you have to go through that. They're under federal investigation for being an illegal bookmaking operation. So that's really where the problem lies. That's like what you would be doing, jail time for, essentially.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
this is not the end of the story, then?
No. I would imagine more things will come out. We might see it die down for a little bit as we approach opening day later on this week. But I do not think that this is the last you will hear of the Shohei Ohtani gambling controversy, at least in the foreseeable future, that is known. That's your sports. I'm Justin Ellicott, 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 521. Let's go back to what has been the big story overnight. In Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed at about 1:20 this morning. This is a pretty main thoroughfare through Baltimore Harbor. The bridge is about 2 miles long, a steel bridge. A support column was hit by a container ship. Looks like something happened where they hit this column head on, and it knocked the entire steel bridge. I mean, if you were listening earlier this morning, we had Ray on. We're going to talk to him in just a short time again. He's actually on the Patapsco River as we speak, watching this operation. Firefighters in Baltimore are telling us they think 7 cars and a tractor trailer went into the water after this cargo ship hit the bridge. There are search crews on the scene, divers, firefighters, police officers. As you might guess, it's a pretty frantic and fluid scene as we try to figure out exactly what took place, why this container ship hit the support beam of this bridge. We do not know, but as you heard from Joe Nolan, it's going to be a mess, especially for people even here who are planning to go to D.C. or the Baltimore area, maybe for the long holiday weekend for Easter. It will be hard to get into that area because 695 and Main Thoroughfare, that Francis Scott Key Bridge, a big part of it. So So we'll continue to follow this story as the morning wears on. And, of course, the other story we were just telling you about, tragic night for the NYPD. A 31-year-old officer shot and killed during what was a routine traffic stop in Far Rockaway, Queens. 30 years old, Jonathan Diller shot. They have the person who shot him in custody. Unfortunately, the bullet hit him underneath his bulletproof vest. He's from Massapequa Park, married with a young child. And, of course, as more details come in that story, we will pass them on to you as well. But just want you to know we're on top of them as we work our way through the morning. And, unfortunately, just the news is just awful this morning. And I apologize, but that's somehow it works. That wasn't the only thing that was happening violent in the city yesterday. One person killed, another in custody following an unprovoked push onto a subway track in East Harlem last night. Police say a man pushed onto the tracks and killed by an oncoming number 4 train at the East 125th Street and Lexington Avenue station. Eyewitnesses say this person was just on the platform, had done nothing, completely unprovoked, pushed into the way of an oncoming subway.
Careful. Anybody could get pushed, and somebody got pushed tonight.
But I take this line, and it's just tragic because, you know, that's somebody's life.
A 45-year-old taken into custody. Charges pending. The investigation ongoing. Eyewitnesses say this was just some crazy guy who was on the platform who did the pushing.
You want to be able to trust your fellow citizens, but it's tough. How do you stop one person from making like an act, right? Like that's really difficult, like in a huge transit system like this.
Of course, this comes as the NYPD has been trying to curb violence in the transit system, putting down National Guard members, extra police officers to make New Yorkers safe. But this is a heavily trafficked station, 125th Street station. So riders surprised to see something like this happening there. But they say, unfortunately, it's become all too common.
They should enhance more like those drug programs, rehabilitation, stuff like that. Mental health awareness really needs to be more emphasized.
Just sounds like a tragedy, and I'm really sorry for the person that happened to and their family.
Yeah, and then it doesn't end there on the subways. A woman stabbed by another woman in the back at the subway station in Brooklyn late Monday. This was about 11:30 morning, Franklin Avenue subway stop. Police believe the woman stabbed in her 20s, unknown sharp object. I mean, the good news is she's going to be okay. And that came on top of a second stabbing that took place at a Brooklyn subway station as well, about 5 a.m., about the time we came on the air yesterday. So two stabbings, and somebody pushed in the way of a subway yesterday down below. This is as the NYPD, the National Guard, state police are flooding the subway system to try to bring all this violence down. Still seeing acts of violence almost daily, but that one got awful. Someone pushed in the way of a subway yesterday at the 125th Street station. 525, Boeing CEO announcing yesterday that he's going to step down. The company issuing a statement confirming that Dave Calhoun and two other senior executives will be leaving the company. This, of course, after a whole bunch of incidents involving their planes.
I've entered my fifth year. At the end of this year, I'll be close to 68 years old. I've always said to the board, and the board has been very prepared, I would give them plenty of notice.
So he's suggesting it doesn't have a whole lot to do with what's going on, but this comes as Boeing continues to deal with this fallout following a number of incidents involving planes. In a letter to staff, Calhoun said the incident involving that door plug blowing out of an Alaska Airlines flight was a watershed moment for Boeing, and he says the company must continue to respond to this accident with humility and complete transparency.
We have another mountain to climb. Let's not avoid what happened with Alaska Air. Let's not avoid the call for action. Let's not avoid the need to slow down a bit and let the supply chain catch up. We got to get at that, just like we got at the rest. And we will get through that.
So I should point out, it's been 15 years since the last fatal crash of a U.S. airliner. But, of course, you wouldn't know that by the torrent of flight problems in the last 3 months. There was a time where things like cracked windshields, minor engine problems would not make news. They do now. But here's something to keep in mind if you're going to fly and you're nervous. There were 9.6 million flights last year, and it's 15 years since a U.S. airliner went down. I will knock on wood like nobody's business, but that is all good news. It tells you, of course, it continues to be the safest form of transportation is getting in an airplane.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 533. Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 26th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. A cloudy day on the way today, high 48. Tonight and overnight, those clouds, they hang around, low 41. And then Wednesday, clouds in the morning, showers in the afternoon, high 55. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 37, partly cloudy in Oyster Bay out on Long Island. It's 38 and partly cloudy in Kreskill down in New Jersey. And we'll call it 38 and cloudy outside our Midtown studios right now. We'll start this half hour with what's been a breaking story since about 1:20 this morning. In Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, a main thoroughfare through Baltimore's harbor, came down after a container ship slammed into a support column and brought the bridge down. Now, we've been in communication with the Baltimore Fire Department in what they're still calling a rescue mission into the water. The thought is a tractor trailer, seven cars were on the bridge when the bridge came down. And now we're getting reports that it might be worse than that. And we have somebody who's on the scene who heard this crash, lives about 2 miles away from this bridge. His name is Ray. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
So, Ray, just so I can set it up for people who weren't listening to us when we originally had you on right at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, you heard this crash when it happened this morning, no?
Yeah, I certainly did. I was sitting at the house, and I heard the big bang, and then I was wondering what it was, and then I see, look out the back, and I see all the apparatus, marine units, going out to the channel. So I got in my car, went up to my boat to see if something happened there, and then I look across, I see a ship had hit the Key Bridge.
And it's not there anymore, right? The whole bridge came tumbling down?
The whole bridge is down in the water, laying across the bow of the ship. The steel part of the bridge is laying across the bridge, the bow of the boat, the bridge part, the metal part. And at the time of the hit, there was 13 construction workers on the bridge working. I'm just following up, getting other information. 13 people were working on the bridge. 7 cars and a tractor and trailer were on the bridge at the time it went down.
Now, who are you getting that information from, Ray?
I'm getting that from the Baltimore City Fire Department.
So, wow. So this is bigger than it was a half hour ago because, granted, 7 cars and a tractor trailer is tragic. But now you're talking there was construction crews on this bridge at the time that the container ship hit it early this morning.
And plus, the cause of it was the captain had lost his steering on the ship.
And who's reporting that?
That's what they're telling me from the news sources and other people that's down here.
So I know I can tell you're the kind of guy who probably monitors police radio and that kind of thing. And I love
yes,
the fact
I
that
do.
You, yeah. So I love the fact that you jumped into your car just like a good reporter would to go down to the water to see what took place. From your vantage point now, how far away are you from the bridge?
I'm 100 yards away.
Oh, so you're close. So what's
I'm
going
right
on?
I'm right here at it.
So
they have marine boats out here. They got Coast Guard. They got state police helicopters, news helicopters, but they'll be able to do more when daylight comes because now it's a try to get the people and find the people in the cars.
And, you know, because we're not familiar with this bridge, we're here in New York. I imagine people listening to us cross the bridge or have crossed
this
the bridge.
This is a very busy bridge.
It is.
The channel is very, I mean, people use this every day back and forth to work. And this is how they commute. So, I mean, it's going to be tied up for a while.
Now, this bridge is near the port of Baltimore. It's a very active port, the sixth largest port in the nation.
This port is shut down because this bridge and this ship is not being moved no time soon from what I'm hearing on chatter on the radios and what they're saying. And believe me, there's other ships waiting out in the channel to come in, and they turned them around. This port is shut down for now.
How is that the one way in? Is there another way into the port, or is that the main way to get into Baltimore Port?
The main channel in and out of Dundalk Marine Terminal.
And how active does this scene look in the water? Can you tell from your vantage point? Are there divers that have jumped into this river? Are there boats?
We've got divers. We've got marine units in and out, coming in and out, switching divers up because it's starting to get a little chilly out here, cold. And they have divers in the water. I heard over the radio they leave all the boats out of the area because they're putting divers in the water. And now they're going to try to recover the people that's in the vehicles.
All right, we're talking with Ray, if you're just tuning in. The Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, which is a main thoroughfare through the harbor area of downtown Baltimore, was hit by a container ship. The container ship hit a support column on the bridge, brought it down. This was about 1:20 this morning. This bridge is a huge bridge. It's almost 2 miles long. There is nothing left of it. It is all in the water. As we're hearing from Ray, we heard from Baltimore City firefighters about an hour ago. They told us they did believe there were at least 7 cars and a tractor trailer on this bridge. And now Ray's telling us that he's hearing on police radio in Baltimore that there was also a construction crew, maybe 13 people doing work, overnight work, which is when a lot of construction work happens, as you might know, is overnight, so it doesn't cause traffic during the day, may have been on this bridge as well. So, Ray, we're gonna check in with you.
I just found out something else.
Tell me, Ray.
I just heard that the captain of the ship lost all steering to the ship.
Well, that would make sense that then he hit that support column.
He lost all steering to the ship, just came over the radio from what I'm hearing, and people standing around me talking.
And what we were told, and maybe you can confirm this for us, and maybe you've heard this, is that nobody on the ship was hurt.
One person got light abrasions. One person on the ship got cuts and bruises.
From where you are, you can see this container ship? Is the bridge lying on top of it?
It's laying right on the top of it, and it looks like it's starting to settle more from the way it looks because the steel is on the bridge laying across the bow of it, if you look at it. And from what I can see, it looked like domino effect.
Wow. All right. Well, Ray, we will continue to check in with you if you're okay, because you're doing a fantastic job telling us what's going on there. And thank you. We'll check back in with you before we head out of the morning here.
Thank you.
Sure. So again, that bridge come down about 1:20 this morning, as you're hearing from Ray. And we're also getting these reports, too, that there was some form of construction, overnight construction being done on that bridge, which, of course, makes the story even more horrific than it was what we knew an hour ago. WABC News Time 5:43. The other big story of the morning is an NYPD cop was shot and killed last night. We're getting new information in on that story as well. What took place? It was a routine traffic stop on Mott Avenue in Far Rockaway about 6 o'clock last night. These two officers were doing quality of life issues, so focusing on cars with fake license plates, illegal tints. And they came upon this car that was parked illegally at a bus stop, and they thought something was up. So the two officers walked over to this car. They asked the individual in the passenger seat to step out. And as he began to step out, he fired at this officer, shooting him in the torso.
He was asked to leave the car. He was given a lawful order numerous times to step out of the car. He refused. And when the officer took him out of the car, instead of stepping out of the car, he shot our officer.
And the awful part is this bullet hit right below the bullet-resistant vest. The officer's partner then fired at this suspect, striking him in the back. More from police here.
The gun hit the ground, and as the perpetrator was still reaching for it, this cop was able to grab it, although he was still shot.
Yes, and then the wounded officer, Jonathan Diller, he was rushed to Jamaica Hospital, critical condition. Doctors did everything they could last night to try to save him, but he passed away. Here was the mayor last night, as you might guess, was completely shaken by this moment.
It is the good guys against the bad guys. And these bad guys are violent. They carry guns. And the symbol of our public safety, which is that police uniform, they have a total disregard for.
Police Commissioner Caban was also at the scene.
We should not be here right now. We should never be here praying for the life of an NYPD officer. But we are. And this is why.
So here's what we know about Jonathan Diller, 31 years old. I'd only been on the police force for 3 years from Massapequa Park on Long Island, had won several awards for excellent police duty. This is from, according to data from the NYPD. Neighbors on his block in Massapequa Park, most of them did not want to talk last night, just so upset by what had taken place. But one did talk to News 12, saying that Jonathan was the kind of guy who gave out everything he could to his neighbors.
You never had to ask him for help. He always offered to help. You know, others. And that's all you can ask for from a neighbor. I just expect everyone just to respect their privacy at this moment, you know. But it's horrible, horrible moment.
Yeah, so as more details on the shooting come into us, of course, we'll pass them on to you. 546, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Starting at the Garden last night, Dante DiVincenzo made a franchise record 11 three-pointers en route to the Knicks 124-99 rout of the Detroit Pistons. DiVincenzo scored a career-best 40 points, leading New York to their 15th straight victory over the Pistons. DiVincenzo broke the Knicks' single-game record of 10 that was held by J.R. Smith and Evan Fournier, and moved into third in the NBA in three-pointers made this season. Jalen Brunson added 28 points, and Josh Hart had 11 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists in his sixth triple-double this season. The Knicks won for the sixth time in seven games and remained a half game behind Cleveland for third place in the Eastern Conference. On the floor in Toronto, Dennis Schroeder scored 19 points against his former team. Trendon Watford had 11 of his season-high 19 points in the second quarter, and the Nets snapped a six-game losing streak by beating the shorthanded Raptors 96-88 last night. Mikal Bridges scored 13 points, and Jalen Wilson added 12 as the Nets outscored Toronto 28-19 in the fourth quarter to help Brooklyn win for the first time since March 10th at Cleveland. No action to get to in the NHL, but the Hockey Blue Shirts will be back out there tonight at the Garden, getting set to welcome in the Philadelphia Flyers for a 7 p.m. puck drop. The Devils will be suiting up as well tonight, dropping a 7:30 p.m. puck up north in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. Off the field in Major League Baseball, Dodger star, Shohei Ohtani said yesterday that he never bet on sports, and interpreter Ipai Mizuhara stole money from him and told lies. Ohtani made the comments during a news conference at Dodger Stadium 5 days after Mizuhara was fired by the Dodgers in the wake of media inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. Quote, I'm very saddened and shocked. Someone whom I trusted has done this, the Japanese star did say yesterday. He's sitting next to his new translator, Will Ireton, who's the team's manager of performance operations. So they just plucked this guy out of the front office, referring to a written statement in front of him. That was Ohtani. He spoke for nearly 12 minutes, did not take questions thereafter. Several key members of the Dodgers, CEO Stan Kasten, CMO Lon Rosen, President of Baseball Operations Andrew Friedman, General Manager Brandon Gomes, and, of course, Manager Dave Roberts. They were all in attendance while Ohtani spoke. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
All right, let's catch you up on some of the other big stories of the morning. The MTA board going to vote tomorrow on this updated congestion pricing plan for Manhattan.
Everything's going up. Don't go in the city if you're offended by it.
I feel sorry for people with a lower income bracket.
Yeah, so there are new exemptions being added. Government vehicles, yellow school buses with a New York City Department of Education contract, and commuter buses with scheduled services. They're all now expected to be exempt from that $15 toll. They'll join a few other groups that won't have to pay the $15 to go below 60th Street. The rest of us suckers, we're going to have to pay $15.
I think it sucks. I think it's just all of a hustle to for the government to make money.
Nickel and diming us to death. And it's just terrible. Middle class is being killed.
Yeah, so if you come in via the Lincoln and Holland tunnels, you'll get a $5 discount. That's going to be voted on apparently as well at this MTA board meeting on Wednesday. The NYPD announcing a crackdown on subway fare evasion. NYPD Transit Chief Michael Kemper says Operation Fair Play going to focus on making sure people pay their fair share at the turnstile.
Don't jump. Don't crawl. Don't come through the gate. Make the right decision.
Kemper says hundreds of cops going to be sent underground. Police say fare evasion leads to other crimes in the subway. It was a fare evader, you'll remember, that was shot in the head with his own gun after a fight on an A train in Brooklyn last week. The Empire State Building illuminated last night in colors to celebrate anchor Chuck Scarborough's 50th anniversary with NBC. The landmark building lit up in NBC Peacock blue and gold for his golden anniversary. 50 years. I mean, 1974 he started anchoring at NBC.
Such an extraordinary honor. Who would have thought? Queen Elizabeth, Taylor Swift, you, Kang, Clan, me. It was it's just astounding to be honored by this this iconic structure. This is actually my evening companion, this building. It's such a symbol of New York City that our backdrop at NBC, or behind me, a live shot, is always the Empire State Building.
I mean, it's amazing that he has lasted that long over at NBC. I mean, he's one of the greats, no two ways about it. Chuck joined NBC March 1974 as a lead anchor for what was at the time the new 5 o'clock newscast, which is now a regular thing. So all week long, they're celebrating 50 years of Chuck Scarborough over at NBC. New York state officials urging you to prepare for this total solar eclipse that's expected to happen in just a couple of weeks. Governor Hochul says the eclipse will go through Jamestown, Rochester, Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and Plattsburgh late in the afternoon on April 8th.
We have been preparing for this for many, many, many months and getting people excited. This is going to be great for our tourism. It's going to bring in thousands, if not millions, of people to localities.
Yeah, so roads like the Thruway could be just jammed on April 8th. There could be possible cell service interruptions in parts because of all the people that are going to be attracted to these areas. Some school districts, they're going to close. Special I Love New York eclipse glasses are being sold at a number of places throughout the state.
The timing of the eclipse, obviously, in the late afternoon overlaps with our everyday rush hour. You know, this is a recipe for severe congestion.
Yes, so it is a moment in time. No two ways about it. There won't be another total eclipse of the sun in our lifetimes.
Planets and stars will suddenly fill the sky. Birds and animals will go quiet. And a rare chance to see a solar corona.
Yeah, pretty cool. Flacco the Owl, the high-flying owl that Big Apple dwellers loved after he escaped from the Central Park Zoo. We now have his autopsy. So his autopsy says that he had herpes virus he contracted from eating New York City pigeons, and he had a toxic soup of four different rat poisons, which was part of what was in his body when he died. That's what this necropsy has revealed. On Sunday, the Central Park, or rather Monday, the Central Park Zoo released the results of its postmortem on the 13-year-old Eurasian Eagle Owl, who died February 23rd after flying into a building on the Upper West Side. So that's what they had. He had the severe pigeon herpes virus from eating these feral pigeons, which the Bronx Zoo says has become a regular part of his diet while he was around, and those rats that apparently had poison in them. So it may have been that final crash into the building that took him down for good, but he had all kinds of crazy poison in his system. New York City yesterday commemorating 113 years since the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire, which marked just a huge turning point in the labor movement here in the U.S. New York State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon helped honor the day.
The uprising and the loss of so many lives in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire sparked years of revolt that transformed the garment industry into one of the best organized trades in this country.
So it was March 25th, 1911, when 146 workers, many of whom were young immigrant women, were killed in this factory fire on Washington Place and Green Street in Lower Manhattan. Organizers say it was crucial to continue to stand together to protect hard-fought gains in labor since those days. But it's a day that's honored, of course, every year here in New York. And let's circle back to the two big stories of the morning, getting more detail about this Francis Scott Key Bridge, which collapsed in Baltimore Harbor early this morning about 1:20 a.m. after a container ship hit a support column. This bridge is almost 2 miles long, a main thoroughfare through Baltimore Harbor area. What we're being told, we had somebody on the scene who we spoke to a couple times this morning, but the Baltimore City Fire Department confirming to us that they think there are 7 vehicles and a tractor trailer that were on top of this bridge. Somebody who was at the scene telling us that he was told as well, and we don't have confirmation, but we may in the short period, that there was also a construction crew, which would just be awful, that was on top of this bridge at the time doing work when this container ship hit them early this morning. And the other big story, of course, we'll be following all morning long. An NYPD cop shot and killed during a routine traffic stop in Far Rockaway, Queens last night. It is 31-year-old Jonathan Diller, only on the force for 3 years, had received numerous awards of excellent police duty. And he leaves behind a wife and a young child. As more details, of course, of that shooting come in, they do have two suspects in custody, but it looks like just a routine stop where one of the passengers pulled out a gun and shot the officer, the bullet hitting him, unfortunately, underneath, right below his bulletproof vest. Of course, we'll keep on both of these stories all morning long.